me on the line actually is the Minister of Māori Development, Tama Pōtaka. Minister, welcome.
Kia ora, ngā mihi o tātou kia koe, Matt, and Dale usually catches me as I'm eating my porridge, but I'm on the porridge milkshake this morning.
I think he might be on the Metamucil, so hey, you know.
Yeah, well, a bit of Sudafed,
I know, it's going around. Mind you, the new weather report came out this morning on Wātea, and instead of doing what Dale does, which is go through every town and country, bloody town hall in the country, I decided to say, well, you know, open your doors, and if it smells like a road, chances are it's going to rain.
there's weather. No, Kapai, thank you for having me on the phone again.
Oh, no, it's great. I mean, because we've been doing some analysis on this overnight. And look, we had Fran O'Sullivan, Cameron Bagri, we had Brad Olson on our show yesterday afternoon. We had a whole range of different people. And what was good about that, you get a real sense potentially of where this thing will end. And after the smoke has settled and all the press releases, thank God, fluttering into your inbox, and everyone's going on their moan and whinge fest, the reality starts to kick in. Oh, well, as you can imagine, there's a lot of people that say, oh, you know, this budget's bad, they've missed this. And every budget, you're always going to miss something, right? I mean, you can't get everything in.
Well, mate, you know, my wife and I, we've got three rangatahi, and it's a rare day when we all agree on what we're going to do.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
So you can't keep everyone happy all the time, but there needs to be decisions made. There needs to be decisions made and a bit of leadership. And importantly for us, we need to reflect on the global situation we're in as well as the local. Mm. And getting the right balance between some of the global geopolitical security resilience issues, which are playing massively to what's happening locally, whether or not it's the weather situation that's creating all sorts of mess in places like Waiwaika Gorge, whether it's the geopolitical turmoil with fuel and the impacts it has on cost of living. But all those things have to be taken into account, and importantly, an effort to tautoko people. And it's difficult, it's hard, and hard choices have to be made. But I think we've got the right approach and a balanced approach to making sure we just maintain our roads, mate. Mm. Like, you know how hard it is when it's a bad weather day to drive from Aupōtiki to Gisborne, especially if you have to go through Taupō and Napier. Like, unless we fix those roads and invest in the maintenance of key infrastructure like roads, like hospitals, our wealth ultimately just deteriorates. And that's why we're pretty focused on not just wealth, Matt, but also health and tikanga.
Yeah, I mean,
if someone, that's where we're at.
No, I mean, I was talking to some maritime folk the other day who were talking about the Blue Highway, and one of the roads of national importance should be the Blue Highway to move freight in particular around the coastal fringe, particularly in the North Island, of course. And that made sense. I mean, that would require infrastructure investment and so on. It also might possibly assist and support what's going on in Tairarapa as you transition away from reliance on some of those heavier industries. So that all made sense, not a problem at all. One of the criticisms, though, Tama, that has come through consistently through all of the economists, and I'm no economist, mate, you know, let's face it, I struggle with school C English, is that everyone was looking for a jobs plan about where the jobs were being created. As I was just talking to Matt Ross-Kruge about this, and I said, look, the investment into defence is headline stuff normally. And so what was missing, though, to boost small business to be able to invest in things such as drone technology or what have you, to then sell into the government infrastructure, was R&D, research and development, all that sort of stuff. And so I guess the jobs, where are the jobs being created is where people are turning to before we even get to the opposition parties. So that's the big question, eh? Where the jobs?
Okay, I think that's a very fair and reasonable observation to inquire and to integrate where are these jobs. But think about the massive boost in the health sector, like $6 billion operating expenditure in addition to what they have already. It's going up to $34 billion a year, OPEX in health. Mm. We've added another $1.2 billion in defence OPEX and $2.5 million nearly in capital expenditure and transport, of course, $3 billion extra in capital, whether or not that's the Cambridge to Piarere Expressway or other things. Now, a quick snapshot of a guy called Tummer in Hamilton West. I know that infrastructure is moving, hard infrastructure, economic infrastructure is moving. When I look at Porter's Yard, Murray and Porter and his brother, if I see all those diggers and caterpillar bulldozers there, I know that it's not happening. But when you've got a massive build like the Cambridge to Piarere, they're four laning, you'd expect that a lot of those diggers are out and about and employing a lot of people to get that road moving. So I think it is fair that the observations are made, but the investment, additional investment of around $6 billion capital and about $8 billion operating expenditure, I imagine will generate a whole range of jobs and initiatives, especially with the construction sector really facing it tough over the last couple of years. A lot of those folks that are employed there or want employment in that sector will pivot towards some of the capital expenditure on roads and stuff. Look at the Waiweka Gorge, mate. That's a problem. And we're going to have to get people out there to really rebuild that road along with the Awakino Gorge between New Plymouth and Hamilton. Those things need fixing, and they're going to take hundreds of millions of dollars. That means infrastructure and jobs.
I think you're right, because you know one of the things I'm turning to is to see what happens at field days. I mean, I think we're only 12 days to go until field days or thereabouts.
Oh, mate, I need to invite you to a luncheon that I'm holding.
Oh, I'm coming. I'm coming. All you had to say was lunch. I'm in. But you know, but Mystery Creek and field days. I think field days is now the biggest event of its type in the Southern Hemisphere. And when I think when people think about field days, they think about farmers. Well, actually, it's agribusiness and agri-technology as well. And it's not just about John Deere tractors. I mean, we're now seeing our farmers using drone technology to do everything from monitor fence lines to check on stock. I mean, it says to me that maybe what we should be doing is putting some economic analysis around the output of potential sales activity at field days to get a real good sense of where the economy is definitely going. What do you reckon about field days being the thermostat, if you like, of the New Zealand economy? Let's do that.
Well, field days is a phenomenal event and a phenomenal experience, and we're going to make field days Māori again. You know, Beef and Land New Zealand will tell you that about 25% of all the land and sheep and beef in this country is Māori land. Now, you wouldn't see that at field days because you sort of don't penetrate that. But the biggest farm in the North Island is owned by whānau Māori, my relations, descendants of Renata Kawepo, Ngā Matea. You know, Māori are massive participants in the primary sector, not just as farmers and landlords, but also as innovators and agribusiness technicians. So there's a great opportunity for Māori to build into the field days experience, to partner with Richard, who runs the show down there, and other businesses to do really positive things. And you're going to see more of that at this year's field day. So if you come and make sure you visit that set of 6 to 8 Māori small, medium enterprises that will be down there, along with places like AgriSea from Pairua, that invested in nanotechnology using seaweed. That's a good Māori business down there, Tane and Claire Bradley from Pairua, to Tumu Pairua, doing some great stuff in the ag sector. But certainly the primary sector and tourism sectors, Matt, they are absolutely booming. You go down the South Island, absolutely phenomenal how those sectors are performing. Of course, down in Queenstown, you've got the numbers going through that airport have exceeded the pre-COVID height, pre-COVID peak. You've got literally 1 million people going to Auraki every year, ditto Milford Sound. Some of the challenges up in the northern part of the country, up here in Te Kau Māori, is we don't necessarily have that sort of throughput or packs, as we would like to describe them, of international tourists coming and going. But that's part of why I'm so keen on the Te Māori kaupapa and relaunching that culture, language, but also our creatives and artists. And with that, the primary sector, tourism sector, export education sectors will follow. You know, our artists and creatives are right at the edge of enterprise and thought leadership.
You know, a couple
In my view, they will help carry that.
You know, a couple of years ago, I used to chair a research institute at Deakin University in Australia. And one of the deans of the schools that was under the research unit was a guy called Barry, and he used to have a love of Massey Ferguson tractors. So if anyone, out there wants a historical lesson on Massey University tractors, let me know. And also, just for those who are listening,
You know, one of the things that I'm really enthusiastic about, Matt, with the mahi that's been done by the Regional Infrastructure Fund, is the investments in the geothermal and renewable space. It's an extraordinary investment to find supercritical, but also to support organisations like Tauhara North No. 2 Trust and Tupare Toa Mai Kaurau Ki Tai, who are right involved in that geothermal space, often under the radar, employing a lot of people to build geothermal facilities and operate those facilities, and creating cheaper electricity. That's what we need, cheaper electricity. That's baseline electricity in the country. Basically, you know, you can turn it on any time of the day, unlike wind and solar and other things. But the key for me is making sure that we optimise the use of land. Many businesses do that around the country, but there are a lot of opportunities within our land ownership, and making sure we get the Māori Land Act, Te Ture Whenua, to work a bit more efficiently. Ditto the Māori Land Court, mate, to work a bit more efficiently to get those applications processed and through. Can give a lot of a job opportunity, but also cultural reconnection to our whenua and economic growth.
Oh, we could have a long conversation about the delays with hapu petitions, let me tell you. Hey, Tamapōtaka, thanks. Yeah, I know, right? Hey, thanks for joining us this morning. You go well, have a great long weekend, and we'll see you at Bill Days.
Ka kite, mate.
Ka kite. That was Tamapōtaka, Minister for Māori Development.